today as my welcome to that from Ed earlier. Good to see you guys. Good to see a few new faces. Every year, this particular Sunday tends to be a fairly significant day for us. Of course, this morning was the start of the Labour conference. We had the Christians on the left service this morning. Regardless of our political persuasion, a little shout out for Christians working in politics. We need them. Come on. We need to be praying for those folks and supporting them. Of course, it's the end of Freshers Week, or is it Welcome? It's kind of Welcome Week these days, isn't it, I think? End of Welcome Week. A few of us have been out and about this week, you know, one or two all-nighters. Certainly, we've been attending the Freshers Fairs, handing out flyers, chatting to folks. And again, great to see a few new faces here this morning. You're very welcome at St. James. And of course, this afternoon is a small matter of my licensing service. Yeah, a little shout for that. Come on, a little shout for that. 4 o'clock. So if you fancy doing church twice on a Sunday, you're very welcome. Come back. 4 o'clock. It's going to be fun. Absolutely. So lots happening. Now, across the Anglican network, across the Anglican church in Liverpool, we're asking God for a bigger church to make a bigger difference. That's our kind of big prayer as an Anglican church. And we're confident that that's what God wants as well. Yeah, bigger church, making a bigger difference in the world. And at St. James's, we've got a particular role in that picture. We've been asked to connect with a younger generation, so that's particularly with students and younger folks who the church maybe isn't always great at connecting with and reaching out to. That's number one, younger generation. We've been asked to plant churches and congregations. So over the next few years, we're going to be planting churches and congregations. Ed and Zoe launching the first church plant in summer 2020. A little shout out for those guys. It's going to be good. It's very exciting. Kirsty and a few others are launching our first parents and toddlers congregation. It's like midweek congregation starting after Christmas. If anyone's excited about being a blessing to kind of young families living in the community kind of around us here, chat to Kirsty and others on that. It's going to be really exciting to make a difference for those folks. So younger generation, planting churches and congregations. And thirdly, we've been asked to resource the wider church. We've been asked to help the wider church to do things that they couldn't do without our help. And we do that, we've done a lot of that through kind of worship ministry, so writing worship songs, giving away resources, training leaders in other churches, and that's fantastic, but also through financial giving and various folks within our church family here kind of help out at other ministries and the kind of charities and things that are going on around the city, and that's fantastic. So resourcing the wider church. And I think a kind of helpful way of thinking about our vision at St. James to say that God is calling us to be a kingdom people. Yeah, a kingdom people. It's not about building up our little empire. You know, it's always a temptation, isn't there, to kind of think about, well, let's build up our thing. It's much bigger than that. God's wanting us to give away our best, to be generous, to see God's love and blessing spread out to kind of other places far beyond the life of St. James. Really exciting. Yeah, to be more than just what God is doing here, to kind of bless others, thinking about the kingdom. And actually, that's our sermon series, which we started a week or two ago. And we're thinking about the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be a kingdom people? What does that mean? And particularly for us here at St. James, what does it mean to be a kingdom people? What does it mean for you to be a person of the kingdom? That's the kind of question we're circling around as we look through these different texts in Matthew over the next 4 or 5 weeks. And I suppose a little reminder just at the beginning that the kingdom doesn't work. The rules of the kingdom, the laws of the kingdom, the way it kind of operates is a bit different to just kind of everyday life. We need a kind of slightly bigger vision of what the kingdom is. It's one of the reasons, I think, why Jesus uses all these different kind of parables and pictures of the kingdom. It's kind of hard to kind of get our kind of heads around it. So he needs to kind of come at it from these different angles. Kingdom of heaven, in some sense, is this mystical kind of place that emerges out of the kind of Jewish story. It's this new reality, this new kind of life centered around the new king, Jesus. And it's a kingdom that begins here. Yeah, it's a kingdom that begins here in our hearts. But it's not a kingdom that stops there. It's a kingdom that then spreads out into the world around us. As we learn to live under the lordship of the king ourselves, and as we learn to kind of use our influence to help others live under the lordship of the king as well. But it's also a kingdom that's not here fully. There's some sense in which the fullness of the kingdom is not yet here, still to come in some big, grand, kind of cosmic, eternal sense. And ultimately, the kingdom will mean a new heavens and a new earth. And that's our hope for the future. And I think this double sense of the kingdom now, but also the kingdom not yet, is a really helpful, really important to kind of have in our minds when we approach these sometimes quite difficult texts to kind of get our heads around. A little bit like the one we just read from the Sermon on the Mount. These kind of strange blessings, these beatitudes at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. The beatitudes, the blessings, the kind of state of blessedness. Well, let's kind of ask ourselves the question, what's going on here in this kind of slightly strange text? And I think Jesus, in broad terms, I think Jesus is trying to help his followers, that's us, kind of understand that even though the experience of life, all this stuff about mourning and kind of poverty, poor in spirit, all this kind of, he's trying to help us understand that though the experience of life is often bad, often hard, often difficult, challenging, Jesus is saying, look, if you follow me, as my kingdom becomes an increasing reality within you, these forms of brokenness, both within and without, can actually be sources of blessing. In the world as it is at the moment, Jesus is totally real about our current condition. In the world as it is at the moment, there will be emptiness, there'll be sadness. At times it will be dog-eat-dog. There'll be temptations towards selfishness, towards unforgiveness. There's corruption, aggression, violence, all these things that this text is resonating with. But Jesus is saying, choosing to follow me amidst the brokenness, despite the brokenness, and in proper response to the brokenness means that you will be blessed. You will be blessed. So when you choose to follow me, Jesus says, draw close, no matter what comes your way, you will be blessed. Blessed are you. Now, because time's a little kind of short today, and there's so much in these Beatitudes, I'm just going to look at the first three. Okay, I'm sorry about that. If you want more on the kingdom, you just have to come back next week, I think. But we're going to do the first three today. Is that okay? So first three, coming up. So first of all, blessed, you might want to have the Bibles in front of you, just have a little note. So blessed, Jesus says, doesn't he? This first blessing. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, what does that mean? What's going on there? I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. He doesn't say the poor. I don't think Jesus is talking here about kind of material poverty, about folks, not having fun. The Bible says a lot about the poor, but that isn't the focus here. Jesus is talking about spiritual poverty, poverty of spirit. Jesus knows the reality of our human condition. He knows our spiritual emptiness. He knows the fracture points within us. He knows our poverty of spirit. And I think the sense here is as he talks to his followers, he's saying those who recognize that emptiness within. Those of us who are honest about that, who don't try and, stuff and fill that emptiness with other things. But those of us who come to Jesus, just recognizing our need, our ultimate need of him. It's these people, Jesus says, who will be blessed. Now, one of the reasons why I've enjoyed life so much here at St. James over the last 6 years is because we're working with Neil. When Neil was a vicar, Neil used to kind of take on most of the administrative burden of running the church. And he was very good because he used to create the space for me then to go and do lots of work with our students and other things and just kind of get on with ministry. Obviously, things are changing slightly, but you know, we'll work with that. This is it. There's new arrangements. But honestly, some of the greatest joys for me over the last 6 years have been when I've seen students at this kind of key moment in life making a decision to follow Jesus. And you can just see, years ahead, a whole kind of trajectory of life change. It's amazing. It's so exciting. I got a text the other day from a girl called Emma. Now, Emma was, she was never one of our kind of core students here. She used to kind of drift in and out, a bit kind of on the fringes of things. But Emma was always very honest. And she was always honest about kind of how she felt about her experiences of church and honest about what was going on for her. And she graduated this summer. And I kind of thought she'd given up on God a bit, really. I just wasn't, she'd come to a bit of stuff. I just wasn't sure where she was at. She sent me this text completely out of the blue. Got this text completely out of the blue. She says, "Hi, Jude. I've wanted to send you a message for a while. Thank you so much for St. James's help and commitment to all of our students through our time at uni in Liverpool." Good so far. "Even though," she says, "I went through many periods of not coming to church, you really allowed me to start and to go on a spiritual journey throughout the 3 years I was here. Without your constant support, I wouldn't be where I am now." She says, "It took me such a long time to just finally find my own relationship with God. I always saw how happy it made other people. I wanted it for myself, but I couldn't connect personally for so long. Thank you for your patience and your understanding. It means so much to me now, looking back, to see how God works through people." She continues, she says, "I would say since finding my own relationship with God after Christmas, it has honestly changed my life so much for the better. I'm so grateful you gave me and so many other young people the opportunity to explore Christianity and God without any pressure. I wish St. James all the best. I aspire to be as kind and loving as you all have been to me. I miss you loads. If I'm ever back, I would love to pop in. All the best, Emma." Isn't that just so lovely? So encouraging. You know, someone who just kind of drifted in and out, not a lot of pressure, but caught something of Jesus. A life changed forever. I'm not going to share too much about Emma's story, but I think a lot like my own story, actually. I think she was, at various points, was looking for kind of meaning and fulfillment in the world. And ultimately was just left disappointed by that. And she felt that poverty of spirit. She was honest enough to recognize that emptiness within. Say, "God, I need you. I need you." We've all, for those of us who are kind of following Jesus, we've got these different stories, haven't we, of those moments when we realise that actually we couldn't satisfy ourselves with the things of this world, that we needed something much bigger, someone, a relationship with someone over us who loves us. I remember for myself, it was in my first job after university. I was 22 and I'd read this Christian book that I got no intention of reading that a friend had kind of given me and forced me, encouraged me to kind of read. And I just remember just seeing things in a whole new light and kind of recognizing that emptiness within and kind of turning to God and saying, "God, I need you." And in that moment, just kind of feeling just waves of love and warmth and acceptance and healing. Joy, the presence of God. It's amazing, this taste of heaven that God puts before us. I know our kind of spiritualities are kind of different. We experience God in different ways. But, for me, not so much with the same intensity, but, just worshipping this morning, just that sense of feeling the love and acceptance of God in an extraordinary way. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It's not just in the life to come. It's in this life we experience this blessedness, this presence of God. And if you haven't experienced this yet, you know, most of us here are Christian folk, but if you haven't experienced this yet, I would just encourage you, you know, don't run from God. You know, don't seek the fulfillment away from God. Turn to Jesus. God loves us. He loves to meet us and just shower that kind of goodness, that, to make us aware of his presence and to know his love. He loves that. He wants that for us. Receive the blessings of God for yourself. And you know, if that's kind of connecting with you this morning, maybe you haven't quite felt that, or you just got some questions about that, there'll be a few of us who'll be praying at the front at the end of the service. Come on over. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe grab someone you came with. Have a pray. We're starting our Alpha course October 29th, last Monday in October. Come to that. All are welcome. And for most of us who have started that journey, let's commit ourselves to inviting others on the journey as well. Yeah? Let's commit. Let's share the blessings of God. God wants to pour his blessings out on everyone. He's calling us to share that blessing with others, to be praying for folks who aren't Christians, to be talking with folks, sharing our faith, sharing the difference that Jesus makes, inviting folks. It's the easiest thing to say, isn't it? Come along to church on Sunday, or come along to student group on Monday night. Come to the tavern next Saturday. It's so easy just to invite one person. Let's be praying this week about folks we could be inviting to share the blessings of God. Amen? Amen. Yes. Come on. So, next beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn. Verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I'd like to talk a little bit about sadness. It's not a particular popular subject, is it? Sadness, mourning. When Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, I don't think he's saying, you know, when you feel sad, that's a good thing. You can't be saying that, can you? You know, it's not good to be sad. I don't like being sad. It's not a good thing when you're sad. And I don't think it's quite as simple as saying, you know, blessed are those who mourn in this life, because in the next life it's going to be amazing. I mean, there's a bit of that. You know, there's a bit of that floating around. Yes, our hope, our ultimate hope is for the next life. But there's something a bit more significant for the moment in this as well. And, you know, I think, as I've been kind of meditating on this, a few commentators agree, so kind of fairly safe, I think. but, you know, that part of what Jesus is saying here is that when his followers allow themselves to feel the pain and the sadness in the world, you know, it's something about this economy of the kingdom, what's meant to happen in the kingdom of God under the lordship of Jesus, that when we face the world's brokenness, when we're, you know, when we're honest about the brokenness inside and we look at the brokenness and honest about the brokenness around us, there's a sense of meeting with God in that place, meeting with God in our own repentance, when we recognize the own, the messy stuff within, but also meeting with God in the presence of others who we serve, when we're kind of motivated to get out and make a difference. That's the big theme this morning in the Christians on the Left. So it's making a difference. And actually, it's only when we allow ourselves sometimes to feel the sadness in the world that it kind of motivates us to kind of, yeah, I want to make a difference here. Yes, God, send me. About a year ago, Neil, Ed and I were kind of praying into, you know, how can we at St. James? I mean, loads of people are doing loads of things, making lots of difference in the city. That's wonderful. But as a church, you know, how can we kind of structure things, enable folks to make the biggest difference? And we were buzzing on that, talking about loads of different things. One of the things that we do, of course, is we help out our SEPAS, our friends from the SEPAS service. Hattie and Kelly will give us a little wave over there, guys. So we love having you with us. So members of the SEPAS service cathedral community over the road, mainly Iranian asylum seekers. And when these guys become Christians, it's almost impossible to go, well, it's impossible anyway to go back to Iran for lots of reasons, but when you become Christians, it's completely impossible to go back. And And so we agreed to kind of, you know, a few folks come over, you know, we'll give you an experience of church. We'll support some of the midweek discipleship stuff that happens at the cathedral. A few of our guys help out with that. And when you need to attend court and kind of, to apply for full status and asylum, to remain to leave in the country, we'll go with you, and we'll get to know you, we'll get to know your faith journey, and we'll come and share that. We'll give a witness for you in court. And when I kind of agreed to the plan, you know, about a year ago, it was kind of on the basis, guys, that, you know, during busy periods, you know, we might not be able to go to court, you know, because you know, the bishops asked us to do all this work with students, and, you know, so the start of term, we might just be a bit busy. And so I was a bit surprised when Haddie's court appearance was in the middle of Freshers Week last week. Haddie, what was going on? You know, it's one of those moments where you think, Lord, something's... what's going on here? And of course, as I thought about it, you know, yes, we were busy last week, but as I thought about it, I just felt God really challenged me, actually. You know, Haddie's story, I'm not going to share much about your story, Haddie, but Haddie's story is extraordinary. You know, he came when he was 18 to the UK when he was 18 years old. He's been here 10 years, 10 years without legal status, you know, unable to properly work, to play a part legally within society, complete uncertainty over his future. Become a Christian, you know, a follower of Jesus. He's good news for our society. You know, he can play a fantastic role in the city's life, and the systems that we've created are unjust, you know, and are preventing him from playing his full role here. And as I kind of sat with that a week or two, as I, you know, just looked at the reality, of course, of your situation. You know, I felt something of the pain that you've experienced over these last 10 years. Of course, I was going to go to court with you on Tuesday, even though my diary was full. And we went, and we're praying in for that result, which we'll hear about in the next week or two. But it's allowing ourselves to feel the pain. You know, and I think so much of just the way life works, you know, there's so much to get in the way to prevent us from allowing ourselves to feel the pain in the world around us. Even the busy schedule, fresher schedule, it's a good thing, but it can get in the way. And you know, our jobs, our leisure time, anything actually can just stop us from really feeling the brokenness, mourning the brokenness around us. You know, most of us spend quite a bit of time on our phones during the week. You know, that little just temptation just to kind of check in, do whatever we want to do on our phones, check in and check out from like the realities of life. You know, just this almost like an anesthetic, you know, just stopping us feel some of the pains, you know, within and without. Areas where God could be calling us to make a difference. Now, how do you run from your pain? How do you kind of stop yourself from mourning, from feeling it? You know, we've all got our little habits, little things we do to kind of make us feel better. Yeah, as we look into this year, I'd be encouraging us just to let's open our hearts a bit more. Actually, some of those sorrows need to be confronted. When we walk down the, you know, into town, and you see the kind of homeless folks out on the street. You know, it's so easy just to keep on going, isn't it? It's so easy just to walk on by. Will we feel the pain? We had Martin, didn't we? A homeless chap here this morning looking for help. Are we willing to allow ourselves just a little bit to feel something of their pain? We've got the Whitechapel sleep out, which Cherry mentioned in her prayers, coming up in a few weeks' time. And there'll be a couple of hundred people sleeping in cardboard boxes overnight. In fact, who slept out last year? Yeah. A few of us. A few. 4 or 5 of us. I mean, there's about 15, even more than that, I think. We had good numbers. We're going to be sleeping out again this year. Can I say, if you feel something of the pain of the folks on the street at the moment, yes, I know sleeping in a cardboard box for night is a bit, it might be raining, can't guarantee the weather. But if you feel something of that pain, come. Come in solidarity. You know, maybe raise some money for the Whitechapel. think the combined fundraising last year was £60,000. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, and that's feeding, you know, every night they feed dozens of people. They've got a great thing going there, a real blessing to many. You know, we kind of partner. That's part of how we're is making a bigger difference thing as a church. We want to just partner with folks across the city. Whitechapel is one area. Lots and lots of other things going on. Just Love. Let's shout out for Just Love. Come on. Just Love, inspiring and releasing students to pursue the biblical call to social justice. Yeah? Is that it on message? Love it. Lots happening. And we'll give you opportunities over the next few weeks to tell us about what's happening with Just Love this year. So very exciting about what God's doing there. But one of the things that's happening is you guys are going to be leading on a campaign to take a stand. You know, all this kind of street flyering of escort agencies and kind of prostitution and all the kind of human trafficking and exploitation that sits behind that. There's a lot of that happening in Liverpool at the moment. It's been an increasing trend over the last 2 or 3 years. The Echo have kind of jumped on it this week, and there's a little article in the Echo on that. And we're going to be thinking creatively about how do we take as a community. You know, this grieves me. You know, hopefully it grieves many of us that this stuff is going on right on our doorstep, right in front, brazen advertising of stuff that's just poisonous, really, for our society. So we want to take a stand on that. We want to take a stand on a lot of things, but watch this space for more of that this term. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So we allow ourselves to join in now with what God is doing in putting the world right. Amen? Amen. Come on. Finally, and briefly, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Or as I sometimes think about it, God calls us to step down so we can step up. God calls us to step down so we can step up. We were having dinner the other day as a family, and we were talking about today and this licensing service thing this afternoon. And Jake's straight in. He's like, Daddy, you're going to be vicar. You're going to be in charge. You can do anything you want to do. Yes. We love our son. but not quite. Not quite, Jake. As much as part of me wants to kind of think that way. What does this verse mean? Meekness. What's going on here? Well, meek doesn't mean weak. It's not the same word in English or in Greek. Meek doesn't mean not powerful or not without influence. I think the emphasis is on how we use our power, where our true confidence sits. Yeah? Because, of course, you know, God calls his people to do stuff, and God loves to elevate his people into positions of influence. So we want to see God's people elevated into positions of influence across our city, in our nation. That's what we're praying for. We long for that. We're called to be people of influence, you know, in this kingdom sense, helping people see the kingdom, helping people join in with this advancing kingdom, help people experience it for themselves. We long for that. You know, for us here, that means, you know, Kath being the best physio. You know, what's the kingdom shape of Kath's role as a physio? We want to support and bless you in that. You know, Rich working at City Hearts and others, you know, what's the kingdom shape of your ministry? We want to see you for students. What's the kingdom shape of your studies that you're doing, of your, you know, how you're connecting with other students? What's the kingdom shape of these things? Danielle, teaching. What's the kingdom shape of your teaching? And I think if there's a way into this kind of this meekness, maybe it's this sense that it's the use of power and influence in a way that's informed by love. Yeah, that's the kind of power and influence that God wants for us. This generosity and kindness and centered on other people. And Jacob, we'd love to see you. Now, most of us do find this a bit of a challenge, you know, this kind of true meekness. You know, and I know for me personally, you know, I often you know, confession. You know, I often think I know the right answer, and I often think, you know, my way is the best way. Anyone relate to this? Yeah. It's true, I do. And I work in progress. You know, I'm learning, and you know, in this slight shift of role, I continue to learn. You know, not to necessarily think that I'm right all the time, but actually, you know, to get out of the way, you know, to let others lead and step in to their roles so they can do their stuff. But for each of us, there'll be ways in which the rubber hits the road on this meekness, this power informed by love, generosity, grace. And I think for all of us, as we go on our different kind of journeys into this, I'd encourage you to think of it, you know, think of it as both a, you know, a demotion and a promotion, stepping down to step up. You know, whether, you know, it's just demotion, because suddenly the needs of others, you know, go before our needs. Yeah, that can be a painful place to occupy sometimes. But that's what God's calling us to, the needs of others going before our own. We're demoted. But also a sense of promotion. You know, actually God is wanting to give back to us the responsibility and the authority for which we were made. Yeah? Demotion and promotion. God wants us to inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. It's how Ed kicked things off, I think, last week. You know, all that stuff about, you know, Jesus kind of reaching back to the beginning of the human story, and right at the beginning, God says, you know, bestows on mankind, made in his image, this call to inherit, to be stewards of the world, inherit the earth. It's what it's all about. That's our role in creation. Justice and fairness and enjoying life as it's meant to be. And, you know, as God is calling us to be this kingdom people, you know, for each one of us, I think there's this call to step down so we can step up. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth in the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Great. If the band want to come up, that would be great. I'd love just to give us a bit of space to, you know, just respond to what God's been saying and doing as I've been speaking. Should we stand? If you're comfortable, why don't we stand? And you might find it helpful to close your eyes, but however you want. I think let's just take a moment now just to, just to do a bit of business with God. As I've been speaking, there'll be one or two things, I'm sure, that I've just connected, that God's saying, hey, this is for you. This is for you today. So let's do some business with God on that now, just as we wait. Yeah, for some of us, maybe it's this poverty of spirit. You know, maybe today is maybe a fresh moment to respond to God. Say, God, I have a poverty of spirit. I need you. I can't do this without you. I want you in my life. Maybe today's a moment just to say that again, or even for the first time. Yeah, for some of us, it might be, Lord, you've met me in my poverty of spirit, and I want to share you with others. I just don't know how to do that. I feel unable to do that. I don't know where to start. God, give strength. Give me strength, vision for this. If that's you, just receive from God. Take that to God. Take that prayer to God now. And for others, it might be this mourning, this sense of mourning. Yeah, maybe we're running from the things that hurt us in the world. Maybe it's just a moment now, just to recognize with God. Hey, God, I'm gonna stop running. I'm gonna look at some of this stuff afresh. I want to be a change agent in the world. I want to be used by you. I want to move on from some of that stuff. Use me, Lord. Use me. If that's you, just do some business with God. Pray that prayer. Make that prayer your own. For some of us, maybe there's an opportunity to step up. But you've heard afresh today that stepping up in the kingdom also means stepping down. Let's just ask God for his grace to help us to do that today. So as we worship, a few of us are going to wander out to the front right church. If you'd like to give some prayer, just come on over. I'd love to pray with you. Just going to see where that goes. And then we're going to worship and sing at the same time. Okay. Let's worship.